1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Let's read verse 13 also. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Father, we thank you. You provided for us Holy Scripture to teach us the ways in which we should walk. Bless, we pray, by your Spirit, this portion to our understanding this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Our topic this morning is freedom in prayer. John here returns in chapter 5 to a teaching that he had already dealt with in chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. John is a good teacher, and he follows a spiral pattern in which he will deal with a certain truth, and then he'll leave that truth and go on to something else and build there, and then later he'll come back to that same truth and deal with it again in a new setting, in a wider application. And this is what he's doing in John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. He says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." These are the only two places in Scripture where this particular phrase is found, confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so in chapter 3, John tells us that boldness toward God, or freedom in prayer, is vitally related to our present condition of having a clear conscience before God. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence before God. Now in chapter 5, John returns to the very same topic of confidence before God and tells us that this freedom in prayer before God is related to what God has done for us in giving us eternal life in Jesus Christ. We'd like to notice two things here then in these two verses. First of all, we'd like to notice that God has given to us a real freedom in coming to him in prayer. In verse 13, he tells us that we know that we have eternal life. In verse 14, he tells us we know. Verse 15, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so there is a relationship here between our knowing that we have eternal life and our knowing that our petitions are granted to us. And so let's notice, first of all, some of the words that we might gain a clear understanding of these two verses. John says, this is the confidence, and the word confidence there, we've seen it before in our study, parrhesia, means a freedom of speech, a freedom in speaking. And so John says, we have before God a real freedom in speaking with him. Actually, this is the confidence that we have in him. The preposition there actually means towards him or face to face. And so this is the freedom of speech, the freedom in speaking that we have face to face with him. And notice the introductory words, this, and this is. And the "and this" would refer then back to verse 13. So that we can say, we have eternal life in verse 13, and we have confidence in verse 14. This means then that the certainty of our prayers is related to the certainty of our salvation. Since our eternal salvation is by grace through faith, then also our daily life is by grace through faith, laying therefore a basis for a great freedom in coming to God in prayer. That means that though we are unworthy to come to God in prayer, because of his grace, we have every right to come. And we know that we will never be turned away. Now, this is what we're told in Hebrews 4. We're told to come boldly before the throne of grace because Jesus Christ is the high priest. We are to come with boldness before the throne of grace. We come knowing that we will be accepted. We come knowing that He will not reject us. This is the assurance that we have. If I have a God who would withdraw from me the salvation that He gave to me simply because He sees me to be what He already knew I was, then I would have to be very cautious in approaching Him. In fact, I would tend to stay away from Him, thinking that, well, He has given me eternal life. I'm doing fine. Things are great. I wonder if He really knows what I am, and so to protect myself, I'll kind of keep my distance, lest He find out something He didn't know and decide that He's not going to give me eternal life after all. And so a lack of security of salvation would tend to cause us to lack confidence to come before Him, to come face to face with Him. But this is not so. We know that we have life that is eternal, and so we come before Him with all boldness because we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. He will not take away that which He gave to us because He already knew what we were when He gave it. And so as we come to Him, we come with the boldness, the freedom, realizing that we are accepted, that He will not reject us, and that He desires that we come. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. And so the assurance that He has given us eternal life gives us great freedom in coming to Him. Secondly, we find here that we have a great freedom in asking of Him. Freedom in asking of God. Now, this is, first of all, because of the nature of His offer. And we find this in verse 14. We are told, if we ask anything. Now, the word there to ask, as we saw back in chapter 3, as we studied chapter 3, is the word aiteo, and it's the asking of an inferior to a superior, a supplication. There is a very different word used when there is the asking of two people on the same plane, on equal terms. The word erotao, of a person, of an equal, asking of an equal. But this is of an inferior, requesting of a superior, and so this means that we are asking humbly. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask in a humble manner, as of a superior. The word ask here also is in the middle voice, referring to the fact that we ask for ourselves. And this is very interesting because the implication is that we are not just asking for others. Sometimes we get the idea, well, if we're asking for somebody else, then, of course, you know, God will certainly hear. But if we're asking for ourselves, well, maybe not. But the word here, John specifically puts it in the middle voice. And so the idea is we are asking for ourselves, for our own interest. Something that we would then normally have some reservations about. Will God hear this? And John says, we know that if we humbly beseech anything for ourselves, and this is confirmed, and we saw in John chapter, in the same chapter here in verse 15, John says, whatsoever we ask, in other words, anything, whatever I ask. In John chapter 3, we saw in verse 22, the same phrase. Whatsoever we ask, that means anything. In John chapter 14 and verse 14, Jesus said to His disciples, if ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. And so we have the very same thought there, anything. And the further explanation that John gives then is that He hears us. If we ask anything, John says, He hears us. And the word hear is in the present tense. The idea being that He always hears us. This is a constant thing. If we ask anything, He hears us. The word also is followed by the genitive, the accrual of the genitive, meaning attentive and sympathetic hearing. And so the idea is not that, all right, He's listening far off and deciphering what He wants to. The idea is He is attentively hearing us and sympathetically hearing us. And then He adds also whatever or whatsoever it might be. Now, we see in other places in Scripture, for example, in Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, we are told, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now, what Paul is saying there in Romans is that if God did that, if He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up to the death of the cross for us, then we know there is absolutely nothing we can ask that would be too big. If He did that, what could you ask us any bigger than that? No request can be too large. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And so this is the promise. Freely give us all things. And John, continuing here in verse 15, says, then we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. John says, he can't hear without answering. And we are confident that He always hears. Now, you know what that does? I don't know what it does to you, but it scares me. Do you mean that God always hears my prayers and that He always answers my prayers? That whatsoever I ask, He gives? Now, since I don't know everything, it's possible that I might make a mistake and ask for a wrong thing. Now, if He hears everything I ask and always answers, then I had better be very, very careful what I ask. But you know, as I thought about that, I said, you know, there's something wrong here. That's not freedom in prayer. That's not confidence before God. Do you mean before I pray, I have to just sit down and do some heavy analyzations and come to a conclusion? You know, is this really what I want? And well, yes, I think it is. This isn't boldness. This isn't freedom of speech. And so some would say, well, no, the thing is, you forgot to limit the offer. Didn't you notice in verse 14 that it says this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will? That doesn't help me, because then I still have to sit down and try and determine what's His will. And so rather than coming with freedom and boldness, I say, oh, now, just a minute. I better spend some time here, and unless I find out what His will, no sense in me asking anything. Then I have the problem that I find many other scriptures. Matthew 7:8, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. And then He says, everyone that asketh receiveth. And I go through and I find so many scriptures that don't say according to His will. Now, we do delight in discerning the will of God, and when God pleases to reveal His will, it's a delightful thing then to ask in accordance with His will, and then we see ahead of time what He's doing and how He's doing it. That's exciting. There's no doubt about this. But I do not believe that this is a condition of His hearing us. So to limit His offer by saying that He only hears when I pray according to His will does not give a freedom in asking. This is not confidence in God. This is confidence in me. It's confidence in my ability to fashion the request properly. And I have to confess that most of the time I don't know what God's will is. And that just ruins prayer life then. So that means that our freedom before God has another aspect. Not only the nature of his offer, in which he says, everything you ask, but also the nature of his answer. Because of the nature of his answer, and I would place the comma in a different place in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, according to his will, he heareth us. In other words, freedom in prayer is not our trying to pray according to his will, although when this does occur, when he reveals it, it's an exciting, different kind of praying. Freedom in prayer is the assurance that he answers according to his will, which is good and acceptable and perfect. It means that even if I ask wrongly, he answers rightly. I said, amen, that's freedom. That is freedom. Romans 8:26-27. We don't know how to ask as we ought, but the Holy Spirit of God takes our prayers and he adjusts them. He adjusts them so that it fits in to God's perfect plan. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, in that we don't always know God's will. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, and so we don't come inhibited. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. How? According to the will of God. And so the Holy Spirit takes that request of mine and says, well, I don't know if this is what you really want or not. Why don't we just rephrase it? And I say, amen, Lord, and rephrase it. For he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so this is the ministry of the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, the Lord Jesus, praying in the garden, says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And I looked at that and I said, what do you mean, if it be possible? Didn't the Lord Jesus know the will of the Father? If anybody could pray according to the will of God, I would certainly think he could. What does he mean, if it be possible? Didn't he know? And I wonder if God wasn't just teaching us a lesson, if the Lord Jesus here just wasn't being our example in saying sometimes you're going to say, Lord, if it be possible, because you're not going to know if it's possible or not. If it be possible, sometimes we don't know. Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. Lord, I just soon have this cup pass from me, but just let me remind you of one thing. I want what you want. And so I don't know what your will is, but I come with confidence because I know that you're going to answer according to your will. And that's what I want. I want your will. And so it isn't nearly as important that the request be right as it is that the answer be right. And I can think of so many prayers that I'm glad God answered according to his will and not according to my words. The story is told of the mother of Augustine, who, knowing the corruption of the city of Rome, prayed, oh God, don't let my son go to Rome. He went to Rome. And there in Rome, the process began by which he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so God answered her prayer by denying her request. And John says, we know that we have the petitions, even though we don't recognize them right away. They might not look like what we asked for. We know that we have them. And so the mother of Augustine, as she found out he went to Rome, I don't know what her response was. It could have been, Lord, thank you for answering my prayer. I mean, thank you for answering my prayer. Didn't you pray you wouldn't go to Rome? That's what I said. But the Lord rephrased it for me and worked out his good, acceptable, and perfect will. You know what that means? That means that that little phrase, according to his will, is not a limitation for us to overcome. It is a protection for us to enjoy. Now, sometimes we have the confidence of knowing his will, but we always have the confidence of getting his will, and that's thrilling. Freedom in prayer, then, is knowing that even if I ask foolishly, his love will correct my petition for my good. You know, if you are in the presence of a of a perfectionist, you know, a real picky person, you talk very carefully because you know that everything you say is going to be held against you. And so you speak with much caution. But before a loving friend, you unburden your heart with ease because you know he understands. And he'll take you for what you mean, not for what you say. Now, God is perfect. And to come before a perfect God and order my request just would shake me up. In the face of perfection, I would feel uncomfortable and tend to fear. God says, don't be afraid. If you don't ask just right, I'll answer just right. You can be sure of that. And so John says, this is the glorious freedom of speech that we have face to face with him. That if we ask anything, according to his will, he hears us. And since we know that he hears us, no matter what it is we ask, we know without a doubt that we have right now the requests that we asked him for, even though sometimes it might take us a little while to recognize the answer when it comes. You know, there's a benediction that we use quite frequently, Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do just exactly what we ask or think. Is that what it says? Isn't that great? If that were true, we'd be in trouble. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. And John says, this, brethren, is what gives us great freedom in prayer before God. So we pray. Father, we rejoice that you have made this kind of a marvelous provision for us. That although sometimes you do give us the excitement of showing us what you're doing and letting us ask you for what it's just so clear you want to do. We thank you, Father, that our freedom goes far beyond that. That we have the freedom of just coming boldly, coming into your presence with liberty of expression, and just telling you what's on our hearts. We know that you hear us aright. And you answer according to your good, acceptable, and perfect will. We thank you for this. We don't have to worry that you're going to pick apart our words. We don't have to worry that you're going to maybe ultimately reject us because you find out something new about us. We come with boldness because we have eternal life. You gave it. We have it. And because you hear us according to your will. Thank you for the freedom, the boldness, the confidence that you provided for us. In Jesus' name, amen.